Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And this is What's Next. We're going to be talking about health literacy. It is Health Literacy Month, as a matter of fact. And with us to discuss this issue a little bit more, we have Tara Schaefer, Executive Director for Literacy Buffalo Niagara. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And also Randy Hoke, Commissioner for Erie County's Department for the Aging.
Good morning.
All right. Thanks for joining us. All right. So it's always interesting when we have these subject matters. In some ways, it's always a little, it shouldn't be a surprise, but digital literacy. Who would have thought, right, that there is an issue when it comes to this? But let's just kind of frame it before we get it further into discussion. What about that? The idea of digital literacy, I guess it's something we should all know about, considering we've all been working now pretty much with computers for 30 some years, right? What about that, though? How do we see this impacting life as we know it here in Western New York?
Well, I think that the amount of knowledge that the typical healthcare consumer needs to navigate a healthcare system has increased significantly over that 30-year period that you've mentioned, Jay.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So, but we're seeing a lack of literacy in this area?
We are definitely seeing a lack of literacy in this area. And it's not just this area, Jay. It is across the entire country. So about 17% of our population has low literacy. So that means that they're reading and speaking below the fifth grade level.
Okay.
And that equates to about 147,000 people in Erie and Niagara counties alone. And that is, again, very consistent with what we're seeing across the country, but also very concerning.
And just as you said, literacy,
yes,
not necessarily digital literacy, but yet there's a connection.
There absolutely is a connection. And if you think about it, they really go hand in hand. We don't have specific statistics on the lack of digital literacy, but I can share with you that many of our students that participate in our program had such a tough time, for example, during the pandemic when everything shut down and all of a sudden you had to access pretty much your entire life primarily on a digital basis. So we're definitely seeing this go hand in hand.
So when we're talking about digital literacy, then we're talking as much about, I guess, consumer use or our personal use of whether it's a phone or it's a computer along those lines and the kind of specific elements inside it that are needed for everyday life.
Yeah. One of the big things is the use of portals. So if you look at an older adult that may have retired from the workforce 10 or 15 years ago, they didn't have to use a portal for anything. Now, they may have a new chronic condition. They may have some regular prescription needs, and they have to access that portal to direct the healthcare professionals, to ask questions, to get information. It's a new process for a lot of folks. Literacy is a compounding factor. If somebody has struggles with literacy, the digital literacy is a challenge of access for many older adults, having the right equipment to access the technology, as well as navigating the technology itself.
That equipment issue, we'll have to circle back to it because that's obviously very important in this, and it's a good point for sure. At the same time, we're talking about now these portals. This is beyond just something that's coming, right? This is the way, not the way of the future. This is how it is done. This is how things are done right now. You were sharing with me some local provider, Atera, who, you know, they're finding that the only way they can work is if more and more people use their portals, and yet they're not seeing that usage go up.
Yes, and they're definitely seeing that, I would say, in the aging population. It's just not something that they've been used to. And I will be honest, even personally myself, I probably don't access my portal as much as I should. There's still this sort of intimate nature to healthcare where you want to be able to speak to someone,
right,
be face to face, or have sort of those private conversations. So oftentimes these portals end up being just so IT focused. And I think for some individuals, it's out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, I can share a personal anecdote just this week, as a matter of fact. I spent 45 minutes on the phone with my healthcare provider, and it all came down to autofill. Hey, there we go. How about that for inside inside baseball information? But we finally worked through it, and now it's a full speed ahead. But that being stated, though, what are you hearing? I know you've held a workshop about this. What are you hearing from those individuals who are coming to these workshops? What are they saying about these experiences?
They have said that it has changed everything for them.
Okay.
Because we break down a really complex scenario and make it simple. And I love what we're doing with Erie County because we're able to partner in different ways. Erie County is, they have all of the resources and materials when it comes to the specific healthcare resources. The website, if I would love to share, erie.gov/health-literacy, so much information there. So they bring in that professional piece, and we really focus in on how can we help with accessing a telehealth appointment, accessing a digital literacy portal, accessing the information that you need, and being confident in being able to do that.
You know, I think, Randy, I think it was at your office a couple of years back, and I think, you know, you have people on the phone in your department, if I'm not mistaken, who are helping people navigate, right?
Yep. Our New York Connects hotline, which you can reach at 858-8526. We help folks with all sorts of issues. And when it comes to navigating a healthcare system or choosing an insurance plan, we have folks that specialize in those areas.
So they can give direction when it comes to that.
Yep.
How about helping utilize the website? Can they help with that as well?
Yeah. So that is where things get a little tricky
because,
you know, that's personal protected health information.
Right.
So to jump into somebody's portal is not something that we would typically do. Our case managers, however, we work with the individual. We work with caregivers. If there's a caregiver working and directing caregivers to resources like we've talked about today, the workshops that we do can be a big help in those situations.
Do we have an understanding of how now this might be transferred to pretty much an all digital experience when it comes to accessing health care? Are we seeing, do we have any research yet about this, or is it basically anecdotal about the impact that this might be having on our community and more specifically perhaps our senior community or aging community? What do we know?
So I am not aware of any data right now, but there's sufficient anecdotal reports. Certainly, this is a change. This is new. But there's great opportunity here as well.
Okay.
Many of our older adults may not have the transportation options needed to get to a doctor's office or specialist as regular as they need to. These telehealth opportunities bring healthcare to folks who would have to go through a great deal of challenge to get to those appointments. So there's certainly an upside to this. Folks have access to that information. They don't have to ask the doctor for it. They don't have to sit in a doctor's office to receive the information. So they can get that. They can make their health care decisions with much more information at their fingertips than they had in the past.
Are we hearing satisfaction with telehealth? Is that what we're generally hearing? I'm wondering about that. Again, like you said, there's not necessarily any standard information about it, but I'm wondering if that's coming. I know my family members, they're younger, and they seem to like the telehealth.
Yeah, I think it's mixed results right now. And the folks that don't like it are the folks that weren't given a choice. If folks have a choice, if they can choose telehealth, then they're more likely to take that approach, appreciate that approach, and flourish in that. But some folks don't have a choice.
Right.
The practice may have made a decision that they don't agree with, you know, and it's change. that can be tough for a lot of folks. But that's why it's important to raise awareness of this issue, to educate our older adults, because once we educate them, when they have lunch with their friends the next day, they become a champion of digital health literacy. They talk about how easy it may have been for them, and it lowers the guard of folks who may have been a little resistant.
We're talking about digital literacy and digital health, accessing your healthcare through digital means. With us today, Randy Hoke. He's the commissioner for the Department of Aging for the Aging at Erie County. Tara Schaefer is executive director of Literacy Buffalo Niagara. So the old saying, and I hopefully I'll live long enough to deny this reality, but old dogs can't learn new tricks. What about these workshops? Are we seeing that, I don't mean to necessarily characterize all of us who are of a certain age as old dogs, but are we seeing that people, once they give it a try, once they get a little guidance, can access this and access it well?
Yes, we have seen that our workshops have been very effective. And one thing that we can offer at Literacy Buffalo Niagara is that if an individual is really interested in what they've heard at the workshop, they can actually schedule to become a student of ours in our program, and they can have some one-on-one interaction. So if they need maybe that extra help with their portal after the workshop, we can come in and help with that. And I think that's just another part of the great collaboration we have with Erie County, is that we're able to sort of leverage these community workshops, but then we can come in and we can help one-on-one. I have an example.
Okay, please.
So we've been providing these workshops for a few years now, but within the last year, this actually was not a workshop partnered with Erie County, but another healthcare provider. We had a woman that was 91 who really wanted to learn how to create an email, because you really have to do that in order to create a healthcare portal with your provider.
Of course.
And she was able to do that. And my goodness, it just took off from there. She calls our office often to kind of keep us updated.
I thought she might email you every day, but that's another story.
Still likes to pick up that phone the traditional way. But yes, it has changed her life, and it has given her confidence. And we just feel so grateful that we had that opportunity to do that.
I see. And so like you were saying, then the workshops are more of an outreach opportunity.
Yes.
But there's something beyond that inside your agency that offers real service, real learning. I mean, I was a literacy volunteer once upon a time myself.
Well, thank you.
That was a long, long, long time ago. But I know a little bit of how that worked. But not most certainly, I would not be an expert to help somebody in the digital world. That's for sure.
Yeah. So we have two different types of programs that we offer. The first is for traditional literacy. And so if you know someone that is struggling with low literacy, we do offer one-on-one tutoring. We use that through training of community volunteers. So whether you're struggling with reading or speaking English, we can help. So you can visit our website at literacybuffalo.org for more information. And then we've expanded out into our digital literacy program. So this is a program specifically focused on the digital aspect of life, anything from turning on a computer to creating an email to using Microsoft products and accessing portals for healthcare reasons. That is what we're here for. We use a curriculum called North Star, which is incredible, and it's very focused on a one-on-one basis with our students. Again, these are one-on-one sessions, typically 6 to 8 one-hour sessions. So if you're interested in partaking in that program, you can also visit our website at literacybuffalo.org. And I should mention, you can call us anytime at 716-876-8991.
And then just to clarify, so you're talking about, and I would believe that there are a lot of people who want to take advantage of, if they're hearing about it, they can learn more about the digital access, digital world, one-on-one.
Yes.
Through your programs.
Yes.
Wow. That's a great opportunity. How are they going so far?
Oh, it has been life-changing for some people, and we really take a personalized approach. So, for example, we might work with an individual that wants to get a better job. So we'll work with them on resume building. But again, it's the digital aspect to that. So we don't want to overstep our boundaries. You know, we're not necessarily workforce development focused,
right,
but we really want to help individuals. Again, when you apply for a job, typically you have to go through some sort of electronic portal. So we're there to help with specific issues that are taking place in an individual's life.
And it doesn't matter what age.
Doesn't matter what age.
Because I know we're kind of focusing on seniors here, but I want to make sure that they know that they, you know, they may be a well-read individual, you know, college graduate even, but perhaps maybe, like Randy mentioned earlier, they might have been out of the workforce for a while, haven't been part of the part of us who are now latched to our computers pretty much throughout our 9 to 5s. Okay, that's good to know.
And I would just like to share as well that our programs are offered to individuals 18 and over, whether that is our traditional literacy programming or our digital literacy
program. Digital literacy, both are fall under the same. We also mentioned, we kind of touched upon this in our earlier conversation, about access to equipment. Now that becomes a whole different issue, doesn't it, right? I mean, a computer or even a phone. I'm still calling them cell phones. I guess we should move on even beyond that description. But what about that? What do we know about our seniors, especially when it comes to how much they are accessing technology right now?
I think folks generally would be surprised at the amount of technology that older adults use in our community.
Okay.
And there's some folks that are early adopters. They jump right in as soon as there's something new going on. However, there's many folks throughout Erie County, throughout the state and the country, who just don't have access to that equipment. I would say that, I guess they're calling them smartphones now, Jay.
Yeah, there we go. That's right. I think I heard something about that in the last 20 years.
So those are quite predominant. But if you're only using your smartphone to access your healthcare portal, it's not as easy to see, to navigate, as if you're using a TV or a computer screen.
Right.
So it really depends on what you have available. I think fewer people have actual computer monitors in their home now than they used to. So folks that may not have a smartphone, may not have a computer at home, they're going to have to go to the library. Mm-hmm. On the library schedule, they're going to have to make a list of things that they want to inquire about or that they need to get, and use that time effectively at the library. And that's for folks who can get there. So there's plenty of challenges, plenty of areas of opportunities for Literacy Buffalo Niagara, the Department for the Aging, to help to support folks to navigate these.
Yeah, so in transportation, is that something that can be helped out with when it comes to our seniors? Yeah.
So we have, and again, by calling us up at 858-8526, if folks need a ride, we prioritize medical appointments, of course. And but we have vans throughout much of Erie County between the Going Places van systems and the transportation programs that are offered by local municipalities. If folks need a ride, they can generally get a ride.
All right, that's most certainly welcome news. So let's encourage then people what the experience might be like. Let's go back in and talk about somebody who's a little bit older maybe and is intimidated by the digital world, but yet we're trying to encourage individuals now to get more involved, especially when it comes to accessing their health. Let's maybe just kind of go through that a little bit on both sides, whether it's Randy or Tara, about what you'd like to say to people about this issue and maybe try to encourage them to move forward.
Yeah, I would just love to mention that we do have a workshop coming up on Halloween on October 31st, and that is at 10 a.m. at Amherst Northwest Community Center. This is in conjunction with University Express through Erie County Department of Aging, and the focus is digital health literacy. Okay. And so this is really going to give you a great overview of what it's like to navigate the digital health system, give you some pointers on how to easily navigate that, talk about some information that you might want to be aware of, scams that are out there, reliable information. So it kind of is a great opportunity, I think, to get introduced to this topic. And it's in a very comfortable atmosphere. I know that this also is available to not only people attending in person, but they can watch it as a live recording, through University Express.
Oh, okay.
So it's a great way, I think, to get introduced to this concept. And then if you like what you're hearing, you can sign up for more individualized information from Literacy Buffalo Niagara, or I'm sure you can follow up with Department of Aging as well.
Okay. And what about from your perspective, Randy?
Yeah, I would say that folks, first and foremost, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Right.
Because there's help out there. And it may be your neighbor, a friend that knows how to do this, don't be afraid to say, I'm having a little trouble navigating this. And also recognize what you're doing from a digital standpoint already. If you have a chronic condition that's monitored by regular blood tests, I'm not going to name any names, but the lab that I go to, you have no choice but to interact digitally. You don't see a person until you are in the treatment room.
Wow.
You walk in the door and immediately start to interact with a digital platform and an iPad. Right there. Your name goes up on the waiting list. So you're already taking a step in that direction. And folks should recognize that some of these portals can be a little intimidating, mm-hmm. but there is often an intuitive level that's built into these portals. And it makes it very difficult for somebody to make a mistake. I think that's one of the biggest fears
right.
that anybody of any age have is that they're going to do something that's going to make a mistake and have a detrimental impact. There's safeguards in place.
We are talking about digital literacy, especially when it comes to your health. It's Health Literacy Month. And with us, Randy Hoke, Commissioner for Erie County's Department for the Aging, Tara Schaefer, Executive Director of Literacy Buffalo Niagara. All right. So we've spent the last 15, 20 minutes encouraging people to take that step, to follow through, to embrace digital literacy. But you mentioned it, Tara, and it was on my mind, the scams, they're out there. Well, how about maybe a couple of safeguards, advice, maybe even an example of maybe somebody who maybe fallen prey to something like this? What can we share? What would you think might be appropriate to share at this time?
Well, I know that part of the press release that was provided through Erie County, and if you get a chance to review it, there's some amazing information on there, some quotes from Dr. Burstein as well. You have to verify any information that is being shared with you. You really do. You have to look at who is sharing this information. Where is it coming from? She mentions healthcare influencers in the press release as well. Anyone can say anything nowadays.
Right.
You really have to question everything that you're putting into your body, anything that you're thinking about taking on.
Or not putting in your body.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So we always say, you know, trust, but verify. And I think that is really helpful. And there is information I know on the Erie County website for resources that are reliable and trustworthy.
I was going to say, Randy, your office must get more than a few calls on this.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing. You know, I think folks are especially now having a difficult time with the lack of consistency from our healthcare institutions and the different layers of government that oversee and support our healthcare system. So they're left to make their own decisions, as it should be.
Of course.
Now, the best information is the information that you can get from your doctor. He knows your situation, what has worked in the past, and what hasn't. Scams are another factor. The nice thing about working, these portals are secure.
Certainly.
There's not going to be any other actors coming through the portal to get in touch with you or your information. Scams are often coming from somebody who is offering something that is too good to be true. The first step that they take is to get you emotional, get you upset, angry, fearful, and then there's a more likely chance that you may give in to the information that they're requesting. So if you find yourself in an interaction with somebody who claims to be a healthcare professional or has something to do with healthcare and they're antagonizing you, beware and always verify. And I think, you know, the best approach is to go back to your primary care physician to tell them what's going on. Is this necessary? But if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Too good to be true. And I like that point about if you can feel yourself kind of getting upset about a situation from somebody that they may be trying to lead you down the wrong path, right?
Yeah,
that's a great point. I wanted to also touch upon, because we did get to this before we went on the air, Tara, the connection between digital literacy and then just general illiteracy or literacy. Just talk about that connection a little bit and maybe get into some of the numbers again, because it's always so stark to hear how many people really do, you know, don't have quite the literacy level that is necessary.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. And the numbers, unfortunately, have not changed that much. we're still working just as hard, right. But I think it's just been very difficult. I don't think the pandemic helped things either. But just to recapture some of those statistics again, about 17.5% of our population in Erie and Niagara counties struggle with low literacy. So that is individuals that are reading or speaking below a fifth grade level. And oftentimes it's even below that. Mm. It's usually below a third grade level. That's about 147,000 people in Erie and Niagara counties. So you already have folks that are struggling with that. Then you layer on healthcare issues. Then you layer on mandatory portals. Then you layer on having to visit a lab to have tests done, and the only thing that you can do is access that digitally. What we find is a lot of people just get so frustrated, they just want to give up. Mm. So what they end up doing is going to the emergency room or not even seeking healthcare at all, which is so scary because that ends up costing all of us money because it increases healthcare challenges amongst individuals. So we have seen that individuals that struggle with low literacy, it goes hand in hand with the digital literacy.
And, you know, I think it's important for folks to feel comfortable saying to their healthcare provider, can you explain that to me in simpler terms? Mm. Some of the work that we do at the Department for the Aging is focused on chronic disease self-management. Often, we're doing classes on diabetes self-management. Mm-hmm. And just to give you an example, we had somebody who was referred to us by their physician to take our six-week class because he was diabetic and he could not keep his diabetes under control. He was under a physician's care. And he revealed during that class that he was drinking a 2 liter of cola every day. So a physician telling him to watch his blood sugar, monitor his glucose, did not translate to don't drink a 2 liter of cola. So it's important that healthcare professionals know their audience and speak at a level that will facilitate understanding. It's equally as important for healthcare participants to stop those professionals and say, hold on a second, I don't quite understand that. Could you say it a different way?
Well, that's a great point about that, and a great example of 2 liters of cola a day. I mean, you know, we talk about the obesity epidemic in the United States, and of course, diabetes is running rampant. I mean, that's just not connecting the two is an excellent anecdote for sure. All right, so we're winding up in our time here. So we do have another of these workshops coming up. Tara, why don't you repeat the specifics?
Yes, it's October 31st, Halloween. So great way to spend your morning of Halloween. Join us at 10 a.m. at the Amherst Northwest Community Center. And that topic for that day is going to be digital health literacy.
And it's vitally important, right? We want to hit that home, that digital literacy, when it comes to your health, is...
it's here. It's now. It's important. And there's help.
Nice. I like to hear that for sure. I appreciate it. Oh, how about the website and phone numbers again? Let's make sure we get that on as well. How about if somebody, especially for the office for the aging?
Yeah, we're at erie.gov/aging. And the best way to reach us, where you're going to talk to a live case manager, is 716-858-8526.
Anything else, Tara?
Yes, I would just love to share our website again,
please.
literacybuffalo.org. Or if you're struggling with navigating digital literacy, you can call us anytime at 716-876-8991.
And you're also looking for volunteers to help with the digital literacy program.
We are.
Right?
Thank you so much. So if you're interested in becoming a literacy volunteer or a digital literacy volunteer, please feel free to visit our website, literacybuffalo.org. We have an application online. All the information is there for you.
Oh, excellent. Well, I appreciate the conversation today. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tara Schaefer and Randy Hoke talking about digital literacy today on What's Next. Coming up, Naila Ansari-Cotillo talks with Phil Davis and Monique Cunningham of FBE Productions. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR.
Whether you're here for the headlines, the harmonies, or the next great song, you're in the right place. We've brought all our stations together under one name, Buffalo Toronto Public Media, BTPM NPR, BTPM Classical, BTPM The Bridge, BTPM PBS. Unique voices, one connected home for public media. New name, same great content. Discover more at btpm.org.
Buffalo Toronto Public Media produced a short documentary on creative restorations, which delivers life-saving supplies to combat overdose in Western New York.
Because we're a new agency, what happens sometimes is, you know, a lot of grant funders, they are hesitant to fund you. So we were on the fence with getting the grant before I sent them the video. It was able to show the grant funder what exactly their money was going to go towards. With that grant, that allowed us to secure a home base. Now we have a location where we do community meals, where we provide services right then and there. So I think the importance is you guys were able to really put boots on the ground with us, really show the city in a lens that you don't commonly see. So I think it helps to raise awareness to some of the issues that we have in our city, but also what else left do we have to do as a community to better our community? Please, if you can, fund public media. Make sure that they're available because they really put a harder focus on the community. And it really gives a better view of what we really need to get done here.
Contact Congress now at protectmypublicmedia.org.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Welcome to What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media. I'm Naila Ansari Cotillo, and I'm so excited to dive into a conversation today that sits right in the intersection of culture, creativity, and faith. Buffalo-based FBE Productions is premiering Our Daily Bread, a six-part short film series that reimagines iconic Bible stories in today's world, exploring themes of addiction, justice, forgiveness, and resilience. And I have two amazing folks joining me today. I have Phil Davis. Yes. And then I have Monique Cunningham, aka
Hello.
Mo.
Thank you.
And see, we're out with family already.
For sure.
You know, Buffalo Natives' work is really connecting the spiritual narratives to the realities of 2025, which is so important right now. So we're just going to dive deep into it. Thank you all for
Absolutely.
Coming here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
So let's start from the beginning. What inspired Our Daily Bread?
Yes. So we actually were doing a short film festival last year. We did at Performing Arts. And prior to us putting it all together, we were practicing. We had just got finished shooting a movie. And then we were like, you know what? We did a 48-hour film festival. And we realized how quick we were able to not only film something, but edit and get it out. So it was like, man, let's really push ourselves. Let's start doing these different short films. And so we started doing multiple different short film ideas. And then one that we ended up doing was called Spare Change. And Spare Change was loosely based on a Kendrick Lamar song at first, which is How Much a Dollar Costs. Mm-hmm. And so John Stover, who's another one of our partners with FBE Productions, when we did the play FBE years ago, we used that song in the play. And I was like, man, it would be dope to see that as a movie. He was like, write it. So Spare Change was the first one, but it was also took themes of Lazarus and the rich man from the Bible. And so it started off us doing that. Then after we did that, we did the film festival and we was like, man, yo, they really loved it. Like, we had the audience choose which film they liked the best mm-hmm. out of all of the films they saw. And that was the one that got the most votes. So I was like, man, that would be dope to do a whole entire series of modern Bible stories, taking the same themes, but bringing it to today. And then that's how it came to be.
That's incredible. I'm going to, you know, switch over to Monique and talk about this idea of like biblical narratives. Mm-hmm. And it seems so grounded in today's reality. So how are you seeing the intersection between these biblical narratives and what's happening in our world?
I think if you take the biblical narrative aside, you still have to deal with morality and humanity. And when you get to the core of it all, what drives you as a person with your principles and, you know, your, again, like your morals, those things take huge account. And I feel like in today's world where there's so much coming at people, where it's the bullying, whether it's the constant, you know, just the back and forth and just the how we interact with each other. I think having that moral impact and having those guidelines really kind of helps keep you on a, I guess, a more narrow path. And I just feel like in today's world, we like need that. Like we need to be reminded of the core of humanity. And that's what these stories give. So a lot of the stories are loosely based on Bible characters, but the message is clear. You know what I mean? It might not be on script, but the message is clear. And I think that that's the most important thing to get out there is the moral of the message. And if you can get that, then you can kind of navigate because you're not looking at it from the biblical standpoint where from a lot of us just reading the Bible has been difficult. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But when you see something that you can actually relate to, you can internalize and pull the message out of it a little bit easier as opposed to kind of like struggling through certain things. So I feel like this is a great vehicle for today's society to relate and understand the moral of the message.
Yeah, especially because there seems to be such a kind of distance that's happening with younger generations. Absolutely. In church. Yes. And the Bible. That are, you know, some people are like, I don't even know what I just read.
Yeah, exactly. And you read it over and over again, yeah. And it's like, Lord, please forgive me.
That's a fact. And the interpretations change.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things I think is important because this situated here in Buffalo, and it speaks to the series, I think, in terms of like the human struggle mm-hmm. as a whole, particularly what we're dealing with addiction and forgiveness and justice. Those are real life experiences, I think, that we all can recognize and understand, particularly in, you know, in the city that we're in and we represent. How are you able to approach such sensitive issues on screen and through the lens?
I think that we just go for it. Our whole team, we've been creators for over 20 years, of whether it's plays, films, TV, all of that stuff. So we've been able to not only live some of these things, but also be able to see some of these things. So when it's time to put it on screen, even when we did a private screening for three of the short films that are part of the series with some pastors mm-hmm. and some bishops, and just to see if they got it. And the overwhelming response was, this is what is needed now. Mm-hmm. Because again, like you mentioned about the young people, I've been working in education almost 20 years, and there's a lot of students don't even know who God is.
Right.
You know, don't have any spiritual connection whatsoever. And the only relation that they had with church is if their grandmother or mm-hmm. went with the grandparents, mm-hmm. but then they would go to church with grandma. And as soon as they leave out of the church building, it's right back. Grandma acting like everybody
right,
else.
Right.
So
right.
It's like, why do I need this? What is this? What is going, why do I need this spirit? Why do I need God? Why do I need this place, this church, when I'm going to be the same just like you once I leave these walls? So the way that we were able to take these stories and put a modern spin on it, humanize these characters.
Absolutely.
And still be able, like she said, give you the message throughout them, I think is what really stood out to those pastors that we, did the screening for, and even us. Like when we sit back, we're watching it like, wow, we really put together and they flow together.
And it's six. You know, that's no joke. I mean, short films in general are not easy to do. I think people think they are just because they're shorter in length than what folks are typically used to seeing in movie theaters or at home. But short films, you have to be very clear.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cram a message. Yep. A whole story in a short amount of time.
Absolutely.
It's bad enough. Like even when we watch full features, you can spend an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes watching a movie and you've got all the time in the world and you still sitting there like, what?
What?
Huh?
Right.
What? You know what I mean? Please tell me that this can't be.
Right.
So again, like you said, the challenge of a short is like, you've got a short amount of time to get all of the meat and cheese right there. You know what I mean?
Now, I have a question, and I don't know if it happened for you on set, but there's always kind of this tension between art and faith
mm-hmm.
when it comes to television, when it comes to film, when it comes to the stage. How are you able to make it, you know, comfortable? Because some folks are like, I don't do the God thing or something.
Let me just say this part real quick, and then I'm going to let him have this part. So, speaking of uncomfortable, what we did do is we did take these and make them modern day versions. Mm-hmm. So even though that there isn't any bad language or anything like that, the message in it, like there is some scenes that are intimate scenes. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, anything too graphic. So that's another thing. And I know, like with Phil, he, you know, when we're doing editing and stuff and we're filming stuff, he's like, oh, I don't know about this part. I don't know about this part. And it's like, you know, it might just be kissing or just whatever. And there is a couple bedroom scenes, but they're, again, they're nothing graphic, mm-hmm. but it's, you keep it clutched because it's like, what do you do? Because faith.
Yes.
In reality, those two things exist, but not so much. They don't play well together mm-hmm. when you're standing in positions. Right. So when you're standing in the position of like a pastor or a deacon or something, yeah, you got here. You know, we know how everybody right. got here. right. You know what I mean? But to actually have to visually see it and put the faith in today together, that was kind of tricky. But I think that we did it to the point where, again, the message gives you everything that you need, and you're also able to relate to it.
Because faith is real life.
And here's a crazy thing. If you read the Bible, not only is it real life, but there's some graphic, scandalous things going on up in that book, you know.
Yes, right. But sometimes you're not supposed to talk about it. This is where it gets tricky with in terms of our and faith together, because Absolutely. It's like, oh, we're not supposed to actually portray this.
Yeah.
It tips that fine line for Absolutely. A lot of us.
Yeah. I think what helps us too is at the beginning of each of our productions, we pray at the beginning yeah. and we pray at the end.
Absolutely.
So we always cover ourselves.
Right.
We always make sure that our minds are aligned on what we have to do. And like you said, there are scenes where I'm like, as we're filming, I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, we're not using that. or we're going to tweak that. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to, because again, one thing that I always we got to be cognizant of, when you're doing a screening and it's open to the public, it's open to the public.
Right.
Which means you got some folks that might be, oh, I want to see more of that. And you got some folks that are going to be like this, but at home, they'll be binge watching.
Right, right, right.
So it's all about the presentation of it. So I wanted to make sure that when we put this out, this was something that it wasn't watered down completely to the point where this is fluff and
right, right. It's not real.
Accomplish mm-hmm. what we need, but it also doesn't have to be something overly graphic, because I do feel as an artist, there is some art out there to me that's more focused on the shock value of that than it is the message. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't want to water down the stories just so we can see some TNA. You
right,
know what I
right.
mean? So we didn't do that. So, and again, as a group, we work so well together. It's five of us. We all are different ages, different backgrounds. Like Mo is a phenomenal graphic designer, phenomenal chef, phenomenal actress. She actually acts in three of the shorts that we have. And when I'm telling you her range, this is almost like a showcase for her.
It is, honestly.
She goes from being a bum to somebody dealing with addiction to like a vixen. So
that's a huge change, absolutely.
Shout out to John Massey. He's our director mm-hmm. of cinematography.
Absolutely,
also,
he's
wonderful
amazing.
Chef, wonderful creator, writer himself.
Yep.
Again, I mentioned John Stover earlier. That's my guy. Shout out to John Stover.
Amazing with music too.
Yes, the musical scores in here.
Amazing.
Beautiful. Definitely an eye. He directed You Are My Strength, which is the Samson and Delilah story. Mm-hmm. So the shots and just, it just so showcases a whole lot of Buffalo, which is great. And then shout out to Paulette. Paulette yes. is also a part of the
Paulette
team.
Harris.
Paulette yeah. Harris. Yes. Paulette Harris. And she directed Mama's Boy, which was one of the films that I'm in.
Right.
And I started off as an actor, and then I wanted to just write and just direct.
Oh, Phil, you went behind the scenes. I said, I'm done.
He came back
but
in
I
front of you.
But I came back to do this. And it challenged me, because I was able to work with actors, Roosevelt Tidwell, Shantina Moore, and Julius Landers in that show with me. And Shantina and Roosevelt are two mm-hmm. of the most phenomenal
yes,
actors.
Yes, yeah, they're great.
And mm-hmm. so this was my first opportunity to share the stage, per se, with them, and which was great. So it was a great experience. And again, all of us collectively, FB Productions, man, we're just a great team.
I mean, I'm excited. I was on set with y'all. like, I had a part of Aunt Monique Cooks.
Right, yes. right. Me That's and my daughters.
Tell them about Forbidden Fruit.
Oh, yeah, that is right. That is right. Corey and Sasha. Yep. So Forbidden Fruit, it's my, I guess, directorial debut. Mm-hmm. And it is the version of Adam and Eve. So what I did was I got two of my good friends who are actually to be actors and actresses, Corey Espy and Sasha Love. They actually live in Texas. Mm-hmm. So they came all the way from there to here and rocked out, and we had an amazing shoot.
Yes.
Yeah, really good shoot. So it was good to, you know, we tapped into a lot of local talent, but we also did have talent that came from elsewhere, which to me added to the diversity mm-hmm. of it all. So I was, you know, it was really good. But overall, I think we did a great job. We've got Forbidden Fruit. We've got Let's Walk,
mm-hmm. Hired Hands,
Mama's Boy,
Spare Change,
and then You Are My Strength. Mm-hmm. So yes, yeah, so
and
those...
her daughters, they catered. They were the caterers for Forbidden Fruit.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's another episode. We need to bring you in here for
sure. We're actually opening up a restaurant in a couple of weeks called Cinnamon. It's going to be at 1995 Fillmore. So. Stop by.
Excellent.
Shout out to Cinnamon. Make sure we'll plug that at the end.
Absolutely.
Of the show. You know, I find it just amazing when everyone is together and they're telling a story, particularly, you know, there's this, you know, the line that says, you know, your cast and crew become like your family.
True. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
And, you know, when I think some people don't understand how close you are because you're telling these stories, and they're often very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. What were some of your experiences that you would say, either a character or a story that speaks to you most, that you felt like you really built a relationship with one another?
Well, I just want to jump into this. I think for me, it would have been Let's Walk with Renita Chadwick.
Chadwick.
I didn't want to mess it up. Sorry, boo. Because it was a very emotional piece. And I think in that sense, because it was emotional and very vulnerable, that energy between me and her was like, even though we were already cool, that helped. It was, something about that rawness and vulnerability kind of helped mm-hmm. bring it together. Like, you feel closer to that person because, like, again, you know what I mean? You're in an open state and that person is there. And even though you're acting, some of those emotions are, you know what I mean? And you're flowing it out, and then somebody's receiving your emotions and they're telling you, you know, it's okay. You got this, that type of a thing. So that whole support of it all too is really, really great.
Yes, I would definitely say Hired Hands. We actually rented out an Airbnb to do that piece. So we literally were with the crew and the actors almost 13, 14 hours.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so to be spending that much time with folks, and shout out to Ashley, Rolando, and Keith, phenomenal work they did.
Y'all have a really dope group. Everybody that you name, I know most except for the two from Texas right. who I'm going to, you know, get acquainted to
Absolutely.
When I see the short series. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, again, it's relationships. That.
Yeah.
I got my start at Paul Robeson Theater.
Shout out to Paul Robeson Theater.
Yes, yeah. So Paulette, and again, this is a full circle moment, this production company. Paulette was my first theater mentor.
Yep.
And so all of these different actors that I was able to work with and connect with, and shout out to Lorna Hill and Willie Jackson.
Yes, yes. God,
rest in peace,
Absolutely.
Both of them. The work and the legacy that they left, all of these artists here in this town, I was like, man, when we cast, we need to make sure we got actors. Mm-hmm. I don't want us to just get some people that don't have experience, especially with a short film. You got to make sure that these folks can punch it and give you what you need in that short amount of time, so that way it stays authentic. So every actor in every piece that we had, and even for some of them, this was their first time in a role, but they had a natural talent that just needed to be directed in a way. Mm-hmm. And that was a skill set that Lorna and Willie and even Vernice, who's
yes,
Vernice Turner,
yep.
actually in You Are My Strength, having those veterans to be a part of something like this, to be able to give their wisdom and even coach some of the other actors and help them, it was really good.
And I know Mama Lorna would be so proud because there's so much happening
yes.
in Buffalo with people that mentor. And, you know, Miss Paulette, I was over there at the center.
Yep.
I think everybody was
yep,
at one point.
Yes.
That, you know, have gotten their start. And I think it's important that we continue that legacy. So I thank you, you know, both for doing that as
Absolutely.
Well, because we can't allow that to die
Absolutely.
Either. You know, we have to keep those traditions alive. I want to point back to the film, Our Daily Bread. What do you want people to walk away with?
I want people to walk away feeling like, not that they're not alone, but I want there to be some type of relatability. Like, I want people to walk away feeling like if you are going through this, then this could be, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, those options of things being okay. So what I want is for, if anyone is walking in there that anything is heavy on their heart or on their mind or in their life, that there is something that they see or hear in this series that allows them to walk away and feel better and feel more hopeful about their situation. That's what I want.
What about you, Phil?
Yeah, I want them to walk away with restored faith. I think even my purpose for writing stories was to really, again, look at who God is, look at who God was, and look who God is going to be and how he can be in your life. And when you put him first in everything that you do, each person in this story, everybody has some type of relationship, whether they did what God told them to do or they didn't do what God told them to do. And so that's kind of what I really want. I want the churches to come back to what the way it used to be. I want young people to get back involved into the ministries and faith. And, you know, because, again, I think all of this depression rates and suicide rates, a lot of that has to do because they have no hope. And I know, as a believer in God for over 40 years, you know, it's allowed me to have something when I'm having those dark days or I'm having those tough times. Mm-hmm. I can rely on something stronger than me to get me through. And I think this series can help push those people, because in each of our episodes, we have the scripture reference. So then that way, after they watch this little short, go look in the book, go read about this, read the real words and get the interpretation of what we were trying to tell you, but get connected.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that film and the arts can serve as a space for spiritual healing and for ministry?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I even say, you know, I told you earlier when I got to see Dreamgirls, like the work that, even though Dreamgirls, quote unquote, isn't a gospel play,
right.
The level of discipline in the arts, mm-hmm. where it can take you, it takes you through different emotions, how I done seen the movie a million times.
Right.
I've seen the play before, but you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And art, especially live art, it does something different than any other medium out there, where it can really put you somewhere, the way the music hits you, the way the visuals are. And in Let's Walk, I got to direct that piece, and where she had to go, man, like the places she had to go mentally throughout the day. Cut up, stop.
Right.
Now I need you to do this. Stop.
Right.
Like, it's when you see this, that piece specifically, I think, that piece, anybody that's been through addiction, anybody that's been through losing a loved one, that's something where I think art can combine with faith, combine with spirituality, and say, even if you don't believe in this religion and this religion, as long as you believe in something, some force greater than you, that's what we want you to do.
Mm-hmm. I always say, as artists, we might not be able to be physicians to heal in that way,
mm-hmm.
but for however long the film is, the show is, the
mm-hmm.
play,
mm-hmm.
we help guide you to forget about whatever you're going through,
mm-hmm.
and think differently. And I think that's the hardest thing to do, is to get people to just think differently or
Absolutely.
Find compassion and humanity. And I think the arts can do that on a level and a scale that other forms, you know, can't do
Absolutely.
Necessarily. You know, so y'all are doing the Lord's work, as they say.
Thank you. And I think that's, for me, just on the outside looking in, like schools like performing arts and those mm-hmm. schools that cater to the creatives, like that's, you know what I mean? That's just, it just speaks volumes, and just to educate and mold that talent and skill set is really imperative, I feel like. You know what I mean? It really, 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 really is.
Well, we're going to close out. We have a last question for you all, is how can the listeners engage and attend the premiere, support future projects, and be a part of the conversation of our daily bread?
Yes. So our website is FBE, Family Before Everything, FBE Production, no S.com. You can go on there and see some of our past work, be able to join our newsletter. We have a workshop that we're going to be doing in November, so you can get information on that. Tickets for the premiere on the 25th, it was going to be taking place at Canisius Montante Cultural Center. Tickets are available at Eventbrite. You can go to our website again, or go to ourdailybreadfilm.eventbrite.com to get your tickets. We have a VIP experience that we're going to be offering for those that choose to purchase those tickets. They get food, wine, private seating, and get serenaded by Will Houghton. So,
right, oh, wow. Say, that's a
nice
part.
VIP experience.
Will is also out here.
Okay. Yes,
he is.
Absolutely.
He really is.
And so, and then anybody that just wants to see the film, doors open up at 7. Film starts about 7:30. The runtime is going to be about 1:15. There is 6 different shorts, but they run back to back. So if you want to know how long is it going to be, it's about 1:15. Anything, Momo?
No, that's it. Just come on, get your tickets. We'd love for you to join us. We're looking forward to sharing this with the community, and October 25th.
And groups too. If you have, if you belong to a group, organization, faith group, whatever, right. We do have group rates available as well. So you can contact us, go on our website, and get some group rates.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you, Phil Davis and Monique Mo Cunningham.
Thank you.
You are awesome.
FEE Production, thank you for joining us today and sharing your vision and heart behind Our Daily Bread. The premiere takes place Saturday, October 25th at the Montanti Cultural Center right here in Buffalo, Canisius.
Yep.
And this project reminds us that faith and art are not separate. There are languages of survival, hope, and transformation. I'm Naila Ansari Cotillo, and this has been What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.